And blessed be the name of the one holy and triune God. Amen. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. It is this well-known piece of text that we read on. If you have not figured it out by now, you will by the end of the service. It's about the Good Shepherd. Every piece of hymnody that we can find is put into this one Sunday. But to be clear in understanding the implications of why we talk about this language of the Good Shepherd now, in this season of Easter, when we are talking about trying to understand the implications, what does it mean to find a tomb empty, and then to be told to go ahead and be prepared for the coming of an advocate in the Gospel of John, the Holy Spirit that will come upon them like fire in the Acts of the Apostles. As we prepare for this, trying to grapple with what is the meaning or implication of this empty tomb for us, we get this wonderful reassurance about the Good Shepherd. And it can help us really feel good about ourselves that when you read Psalm 23 and you hear that language about God always being with us, pursuing us in all parts of our lives, it's a wonderful thing for us to consider. But the other part of it, which is important to remember with the nature of sheep, which probably makes it very appropriate for the image for us as people to be considered to be sheep, is sheep are kind of dumb. The hope is with sheep you can train them. And that when they hear the voice of their caretaker, their shepherd, then they'll follow. And the job of the shepherd is to tend to take care of the sheep. But the difficulty we've got with today's world, when you think about hearing a voice and recognizing it and following that voice, is we've got all kinds of voices going through every piece of equipment from computers to radio. And the difficulty with those voices is if we are not careful, if we are not attentive to it, those voices can be very distracting to us or destructive to us as we seek to try and listen to and follow the voice of our Lord. And a lot of times, I don't think people are aware of how influential those voices are. We want to think, well, I obviously see that for all that it is. It could never cause me or make me be different than I am called to be. And don't be that naive to it. Because, first of all, we struggle with trying to understand what it is to be in dialogue. Now, when you're giving a sermon, this sounds kind of weird, but there is a purpose in dialogue for a two-way conversation. But the difficulty is, and I don't know how often you've run into it, is there are those who want to claim they are in dialogue, but most often it's monologue. It's a one-way, not really a conversation. And it is, perhaps, there is that wonderful tradition that we have with the sport of debate. And one of the things with debate is the understanding that there are two sides to an argument. You hear them, you learn from them. And in that, then, you gain some deeper understanding of whatever you're having your debate about. But oftentimes, today's notions with debate kind of water down to what a friend of mine did in high school when he was on the debate team, and let's just say he did not prepare for the debate. And so when the time came for him to get up in the debate, his opponent, she presented her point beautifully. She laid out her argument. She put it all out there within the time constraints that were given to her. She finished and she sat down. When it was his turn, he got up. He looked at her and he said, "You lie." And he went and he sat down. First of all, he lost the debate. But how often we see people wanting to, rather than engage in conversation, if it's something that they simply want to or don't know something about, they'll just start name-calling, as if that's very helpful to carrying on a dialogue. Of course, the other part with voices, which we are not very aware of, was well shown to me when I had a parishioner who came up and told me about a fascinating experience that she had encountered when she drove to work. She said, "Webster, I realized over the past couple of months, whenever I'd get to work, I would be angry, and I'd be all wired up, and I didn't know why. And on the way in last week, I realized I was listening to these radio stations, these talk shows. And in hearing all of the ugliness and the anger in those voices, and hearing it so much, it began to affect me so that I just found myself being angry." And then she said, "I tried an experiment. I turned the radio off, and it's been wonderful. I get to work, I feel refreshed, and I feel ready to engage the day." But if we don't pay attention to the voices around us and understand that those voices influence us, then we can naively be caught off guard and have those voices influencing us, and we do not even realize it. It is for us to realize in these voices that are around us, it is a very good practice for us as Christians to understand that in claiming to follow Jesus, when we claim to hear the voice of our shepherd, then it is not simply that we then hear that voice and, oh good, that's the end of it. It's not about the words. It's about the implication of those words in our lives. And if we ever wonder, are my words actually reflecting what the shepherd has spoken to me? It's not simply by how one attends a worship service or how one uses big words. It's revealed more in terms of understanding the implication of the shepherd's voice in our lives is revealed by how we have in turn touched the lives of those around us, how the other relationships around us bear fruit and are lived out because of the influence of the voice of our Lord who has spoken to us. It's important to remember, and when we talk about the Gospel of John with this image of Jesus talking about himself as the Good Shepherd, as this voice that leads the sheep, the Gospel of John opens up at the very beginning with our understanding. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. That Word, capital W, is not the Bible. That Word, that Logos that is expressed, it is God's expression of God's desire to be about God's creation. And God says words, and then there are things that come out from those words. There are parts of us to understand the expression of God's love is revealing itself, not just in what God has spoken, but then the things that result from that spoken word. So that for us as Christians, when we talk about if we wish to see the full expression of how God's love reveals itself in relationship to us, to humankind, we look to the ultimate expression of God's love in Jesus and how he lives out his life, and how even though we go ahead and try and kill him, he overcomes death itself. So that the expression of God's love continues on in us because of what God has been doing since God's creation. It's for us to be aware, in John's gospel, this story of the Good Shepherd is sandwiched between two very well-known encounters. On the one hand, in the chapter before, you have Jesus who goes and he will heal a blind man. And the blind man will be able to see. And then the community says, well, how did this happen? And what that story quickly becomes is not simply a story of healing, but it becomes a story of a community of faith wrestling with what it means to believe in Jesus as one who gives sight, as one who gives an understanding, a purpose, a meaning in life to which the community will then have a fight. And the religious leaders will say, first of all, this guy healed on the Sabbath day. And second of all, who really does this? We've never seen this done before. And that blind man, you may remember, the man who can now see, when he says, I don't know how this has happened, but you can't say that it was done by a demon because only God would want to heal this way. Do you want to get to know God this way? And it just really makes the religious leaders mad. A healing event becomes a confrontation which the Christian community struggles with, that when we encounter the living God and he changes our lives and we share that in the world around us, it's not always going to be well received, but you're still called to be faithful to it. Of course, the other part of that then comes in the chapter after this one, which is another well-known story, which is Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And that wonderful moment when Jesus says, "Lazarus, come out," it is for us to understand that this voice, this shepherd, is one who overcomes death itself. And Jesus, as one who overcomes death in his resurrection, is also one who is with us in our death and into the next part of life. It is a voice that continues to speak to us. But always to remember in hearing this voice, this wonderful reassurance, this guiding understanding and relationship with the living God who's given us God's grace revealed in God's gift of one another. The influence of that voice is then revealed and understood in our lives, not by what we always say, but it becomes also revealed in the consistency as the expression of who we are, building up or destroying God's kingdom. Oftentimes, there's this new idea out there that people who care for one another or are not rude to one another are being politically correct. I don't know if you've heard that term getting thrown around out there. But that idea of political correctness, unfortunately, seems to be getting watered down to an excuse to be rude to somebody you don't like. And there's a real nastiness that comes around it. So that we begin to see in the communities around us people who will express what they think they want to say about somebody else. But is it truly to the benefit of that other person? Is it building up a witness of God's love to treat other people in that way? Or is it simply a way for us to feel good about ourselves by putting down someone else, by destroying someone else? For us to be aware, the influence of the voices around us are very strong, and they're very subtle, and you may not even realize it. But if you find yourself listening to the radio and getting angry and you're not sure why, shut off the radio. If you find yourself online and going and finding out all this information, which I guess some say it's true because it's on the internet, but those are not voices that are always true, nor is their best interest your love, your life, and your faith. But for us to be people who intentionally seek to be about understanding that the resurrection of our Lord, the expression of God's love, ultimately revealed not just in creation but in overcoming death itself, is also that same voice that speaks to us now. To be witnesses of what this voice looks like, as a voice that brings about healing, as a voice that seeks to be about reconciliation, as a voice that seeks to be about mercy and about compassion. If the voice that we want to hear is leading us to the point where we want to say, we want the power to dominate and rule so that we therefore can shove our voice down your throat, then we need to take a step back. Is that the voice of the shepherd, or is that our voice, the voice of our human brokenness, our human arrogance, our human ego? And for us to always be aware when we witness this voice of God's love and grace in the world, that the shepherd's idea is to care and to protect, to raise up and to nurture in all parts of life. We want to be able to be people who witness God's love, not just with how it is that we treat children, but how it is that we treat one another. And not just with those people that we like, but with all of those in God's creation made in God's image. The voice speaks and the voice calls to us, and we follow. But we don't just blindly follow the voice to our own end. We in turn are called by following that voice to share the witness of love and grace of that voice in the lives of all of those around us. And when we see that happening and we get that realization that God's grace and love does indeed have its ability to make itself known as people continue to seek to care for one another, then we know that of all the voices out there, we're listening to the right voice. Blessed be the name of God. Amen.